Manufacturers are looking to work smarter, faster, and cheaper. And at Bosch Rexroth, we're working side by side with our customers to build the factory automation solutions that will be needed to address their future business demands.
Welcome, everyone, to the Robot Industry Podcast. I'm Jim Beretta, and I am pleased to have Armando Gonzalez from Bosch Rexroth join us. Armando joined Bosch Rexroth in 2021 as the business leader for the Industry 4.0 and Turnkey Systems Group. He brings over 18 years of experience implementing highly automated solutions within the electronics, fast-moving consumer goods, pharmaceutical, automotive, and packaging industries. With an analytical mindset to solve complex business challenges, he looks to help Bosch Rexroth continue to shape the modern industrial revolution. Armando currently resides in Dallas, Texas, and is a graduate of the University of Texas at Austin with a bachelor's degree in economics. Welcome, Armando, to the podcast.
Hey, Jim. Thanks for having me.
Armando, I'm sure everyone knows who Bosch Rexroth is, but remind us who BR is.
Yeah, Bosch Corporation, right? They're a privately held company that's been in existence for over 200 years. You know, we're about $90 billion based out of Germany. And we have over 70,000 employees globally. We're focused in many sectors. In automotive is where we're primarily known. But a lot of folks these days also know us as, you know, their appliance manufacturer. You know, we produce our own line of high-end appliances, from dishwashers to ranges and refrigerators. We own brands like Thermador. And over the last few years, when the housing market's booming here in the U.S., a lot of folks are using our appliances at home. And Bosch Rexroth actually falls in their industrial automation space, where, as you know, Bosch Rexroth's been very well known in the electronics and drives division, as well as their assembly technology solutions and industrial hydraulics.
Thank you for that. Armando, tell us a little bit about your background, too.
So a little bit about me. I joined the industry nearly 20 years ago with Keyence Sensors, working on fiber optic sensor technologies, vision systems, laser measurement systems, and laser coating systems. And that's where I got into the space. And in 2006, I joined Schubert Packaging Systems, based out of Karlsheim, Germany. And that was my first introduction into robotics. And I've been in the industry ever since.
Nice. Thank you for that. So can you explain to the audience what an AMR is? Because we're going to talk about that a little bit today.
No, absolutely. I'd love to. You know, I've been tasked with leading the North American business unit at Bosch Rexroth for AMR and robotics. AMR stands for autonomous mobile robots. And these robots, I mean, they're very similar to what you use at home with your Roomba, right? They're autonomous robots that work within your manufacturing facility using SLAM navigation, rather than external markers for localization. So they can map your facility and all the environment so that way it could plan its path.
Nice. And what are some of the misconceptions of robotic automation from your perspective?
Yeah, there's quite a few, right? I think one of the primary ones is, you know, robots are here to take my job. And quite frankly, I couldn't be further from the truth. A fellow Texan came on your show not too long ago, Eric Gavis with Plus One Robotics. And they have a great slogan, and I love it, right? I even think they have like some swag on their shirts that repeat the slogan, you know, robots work, people rule. And that's absolutely right. You know, people are the primary source of the intelligence within the robots. If we train our people, if they adopt the technology, you're going to maximize the benefits of robotics automation. The other component that I think is wrongly perceived is it's just for large manufacturers, right? Coming from Bosch, we use this technology in our facilities, but we also work with external customers. I'll give you an example. You know, I was working with the father-son duo out of Chicago. They make vegan marshmallows. And this is right before COVID. And they came to us at a PAC Expo and said, hey, we've got a challenge. You know, we've got some new contracts that we want to fulfill, but I just can't find enough people to help support us. And what I want to do is alleviate some of the non-value added tasks like stacking boxes per se, and try to incorporate palletizers. What can you do for us? And what we developed is a quick deployable palletizing solution using collaborative robots that you could bring online and have in production within 3 months. And keep in mind, this isn't a large company. It's a father-son duo. The son must have been about 15. And it was so cool seeing both of them meet with us and just seeing the son's eyes light up and the questions that he was asking. I mean, they're learning this stuff really early. And it worked so well for them that they came back for another unit.
I think some of the best advice is to get your 15-year-old involved in your business, right?
Yeah, then that's funny. I have two kids, and I'm teaching them as much as I can. We love geeking out on a daily basis. They like learning what I do and what our company does, and you know, showing them videos of applications. It's like, oh, Dad, that's cool. But you know, there's another misconception too, right? Being a part of a global organization, adopting robotics technology in a, like a low cost of labor environment, a lot of times you get the idea that, well, you know, it's low labor cost, it's tough to justify a robotic technology. But when, in actuality, if you find these applications that are non-value added and allow their operators, their teams to be more productive and make their jobs more fun and easy, they're easy wins. And I'll share a story. I recently just finished a deployment at our Bosch Toluca, Mexico facility. This is a massive automotive facility for our thermal systems group and has over 3,000 employees, lots of traffic. And they came to us basically with a challenge to try to help reduce some of the traffic that they experience within their facility. They have operators and personnel moving heavy carts upwards of, you know, 700 kilos throughout their facility, walking 250,000 square feet for every cycle. You know, this is a 24/7 operation. So they wanted to alleviate some of that stress that their teams face and reduce some of that traffic and also improve safety at their facility. So we were able to implement our initial pilot, and it took off quick. And now we're talking about fleets of robots. So just because you might be in a low labor cost environment, it doesn't necessarily eliminate the possibilities of incorporating robotic technology.
It's interesting that you mentioned about traffic, like, because that is a big thing, right? We've got all these different people and forklifts and autonomous mobile robots and such, all wanting that very valuable real estate.
Yeah, that's a huge challenge. You have forklifts intermixing with tuggers, intermixing with AGVs, intermixing with AMRs, all within your workplace. So how do you manage that? And that's probably one of the biggest challenges we're facing right now is how do we communicate? And let's talk the same language, right? You know, C-3PO, I think, spoke like 6 million different languages. We need these robots to communicate within one and share where they're at within your environment. So that way they can set alarms, they can open doors, they can interface with equipment and other robots. So there's some very intelligent people, as you know, working on this mass robotics standards and exploring these challenges with different manufacturers to create a common protocol. And then you also mentioned the maps and the environment. You know, which map do you use? That's a big challenge as well. You know, who controls the robots? You know, there's a lot of different robots out in the market filling different applications, and there's not necessarily one manufacturer that can address them all. So, you know, one robot might well work well indoors, one might work well outdoors, and in some cases, they all interface with each other. So as a community, we need to come together to find the right way to manage that for our customers.
It almost leads me to think about like a new job in a factory, and that's like a factory flow expert, right? Who's the traffic cop?
Exactly. So we talk about, you know, eliminating jobs. These robots are actually creating more jobs. because you need these champions, you need these individuals interfacing, owning the technology, and then bringing to the different vendors or manufacturers their challenges so we can address them quickly. Because it's a new technology, so there's a lot of things that we still don't know, right? And we're learning. And the people on site that are championing these solutions and these deployments are critical.
Well, I'm glad that you chatted a little bit about your the vegan marshmallow company, because there has been a big perception, I think, in the industry. Hey, I'm too small to automate. Hey, I'm too small for an AMR solution, and that's just not true.
With the way technology is evolving, Jim, you're absolutely right. It's making it more cost effective and quicker to deploy, and requiring less technical capabilities. The engineers these days coming out of college are very well positioned with a lot of the programming languages that they're learning, and a lot of them are also developing that outside of the institutions, educational institutions, and these folks are quickly adopting and being a key resource for us in these new businesses that we're moving forward with.
I do see some themes, Armando, going through the industry, like being ultra safe and being ultra easy, and you see companies like opening up their APIs, which are all kind of interesting things happening, which I'm very excited about.
Yes, yeah. I mean, as folks know who know Rexroth, and for those who don't, you know, Rexroth promotes ourselves as an open platform for those developers, those creators to use our technology and not be hamstrung with proprietary programming languages. It allows you to use the best solution for your application, the best program for your application. And, you know, as we've talked before, you know, Control X is a big part of our future at Rexroth.
So maybe just for a bit of clarity, what is Control X?
Control X, you know, it's a disruptive technology. It's our new control platform within Rexroth that utilizes its industrial PC, utilizes Linux with an Ubuntu core, uses some of the highest processing chips available on the market. So, you know, it's virtually future proof. And what's unique about it is it's open. It's you know, we talked about interoperability earlier. Well, you know, just because you have a specific program that you prefer for your application, we don't limit you from being able to use it on this platform. And it's extremely secure, given that it runs off Linux. And so this technology is really what's going to set the tone for us in the future.
And so what other applications kind of are you seeing with using AMRs? Is it obviously it's moving material around in a warehouse or in a manufacturing facility?
Right. So moving material in and out. I mean, that's what we're discussing internally within our own Bosch facilities, is any areas where you have high traffic, you have manual intervention to move carts, move trays, move dollies, or replace tuggers. Those are perfect examples, quick hits or low-hanging fruit type applications where it'd be a good opportunity to evaluate your environment and how these robots work within it.
So Armando, are you seeing a lot of your companies, even if they might be big companies, like take like one or two units before they commit to, like, they need 20, but they kind of start off small? Is that, are you kind of seeing that as a trend?
Yeah. You don't want to eat the whole elephant, right? And that's what you'll see sometimes too. I mean, you'll have these engineers with really high aspirations, and we work alongside them to audit their environment and explain to them, well, you know, we got to let the robot work for you, right? So we got to prepare the environment for the robot so you get max benefit. And starting off with the pilot is probably the best advice I could ever give someone who's looking to adopt this for the first time and evaluate it.
It must be a little frustrating because, you know, pilots, I agree that I think pilots are really beneficial when you're trying to integrate new technology. But this just seems so simple and such common sense. But I can kind of see the machine tool department needing one. And then machine tool gets up and then you're like, well, what about the shipping department? Oh, what about final assembly department? And you can almost see them all saying, hey, we need three. We need two.
You're right. Once you run this pilot and you have that owner interfacing with it, they start, the light bulb just turns on and they start seeing potential opportunities to deploy it. And all of a sudden you've got involvement from the entire group. So that change management aspect is extremely critical for these organizations to be successful, because they'll start generating ideas, generating ripples throughout their organizations where, you know, they'll get visitors and all of a sudden that other facility in Seattle wants whatever you're doing down in Texas.
Very important to tell the stories, right?
Yeah, for sure.
And so what does that look like? If I want to do a pilot with you for my warehouse, like what happens? Do I just call you?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, you'd call me and my team, and what we would do is we'd walk through your facility, take a look at, you know, the different elements that might provide, you know, good results and some areas that we may need to adjust and account for. So that way we can set the expectations with our partners and then our end customers as to what they could expect with that initial deployment. Because, you know, not every site is a ideal site for this type of technology. And in actuality, our site in Toluca was extremely challenging for us because it's so large, high traffic, very dynamic. We definitely cut our teeth at that deployment, but we learned, you know, ways to navigate around it and what these systems can do well and not so well.
Optimizing routes is probably a pretty important thing, right? And you want to have a hand in there so that you can help your customer.
Absolutely. So we want to walk side by side with them and know that they're not alone in venturing into this you know, vast ocean by themselves, right? They've got a partner to walk through with them.
How long does a pilot take? Like, or is that as long a piece of string, right?
Yeah, it just depends, right? And in some cases, it could be a couple months. As you get the system dialed in and realize the benefits, and in some cases it can be shorter than that.
And who's your economic buyer? Is it usually like a plant manager? Is it a VP? Is it CEO? Is it CFO?
Yeah, it's definitely on the higher level. Many on the C level, definitely CFOs. We definitely work with the IT leads at the site. Because since these AMRs work through Wi-Fi and they're localized on their server, there's no communication coming out of that facility or from the robot. So we don't see any of that information. But it's important to get the IT team involved as soon as possible, so that way we can plan for any sort of requirements that might be needed, like Wi-Fi extensions and whatnot.
And while we're on the CFO discussion, what is the current thinking in ROI? Like when you talk, and you must talk to your clients a lot about this.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, with the solutions that we're working at Rexroth, we're seeing ROIs in less than 2 years. And then it also depends a lot on, how many shifts you're running at your facility and, where that low hanging fruit is being applied. In some cases, it could be less.
When you think about, hey, we can't hire people right now, or let's keep the people we have, maybe put an AMR solution in so that we can deploy them in smarter tasks, right?
Yeah. I mean, you get a lot of that because, in some cases, they don't even have someone to perform the task. So you don't have any choice. But this makes a deployment, you know, within, say, 12 weeks, you realize it very quickly. And you can get these things moving for you.
Armando, who's Geek Plus? I have in my notes to ask you about that.
Yeah. No, that's a great question. So Geek Plus is an early adopter of our Bosch Rexroth locating software. They incorporated into their AMRs. They're a Chinese-based AMR manufacturer and a huge player in the market. They have a really deep portfolio of AMRs, AGVs, QR, what they call QR bots. They're bots that utilize QR codes in a grid format. They also have ASRS systems and goods to person solutions. They've got a very deep portfolio of solutions, and they were a natural fit for us. They're very strong in Asia, and they're looking to develop the North American market. And they're already using RexRaw solutions, so we already had previous work experiences with them. And when we evaluated their AMRs and the potential in North America, it was a no-brainer.
Nice. And Armando, what do you like to do when you're not selling robots?
You know, my wife likes to try to keep me in shape. So I chase her around quite a bit. She's big into fitness, and I'm big into eating. So if I'm not working out with my wife, I'm usually hanging out with the kids, building Legos and geeking out, talking about Web3 and playing sports.
And how can people get a hold of you?
Yeah, you can find me on LinkedIn, Armando Gonzalez with Bosch Rexroth. Or via my profile, J.A. Gonzalez, G-O-N-Z-A-L-E-Z, 2008. Or you can email me at armando.gonzalez@us.bosch.com.
Thank you for that. Our sponsor for this episode is Earhart Automation Systems. Earhart builds and commissions turnkey solutions for their worldwide clients. With over 80 years of precision manufacturing, they understand the complex world of robotics, automated manufacturing, project management, delivering world-class custom automation on time and on budget. Contact one of their sales engineers to see what Earhart can build for you. I'd also like to thank A3, the Association for Advancing Automation. They're the leading automation trade associations for robotics, vision and imaging, motion control and motors, and the industrial artificial intelligence technologies. Visit automate.org to learn more. And I'd like to thank our partner, Painted Robot. Painted Robot builds and integrates digital solutions. They're a web development firm that offers SEO and digital social marketing and can set up and connect CRM and other ERP tools to unify marketing, sales, and operations. And they're located at paintedrobot.com. And if you'd like to get in touch with us at the Robot Industry Podcast, you can find me, Jim Peretta, on LinkedIn. We'll see you next time. Thanks for listening. Be safe out there. Today's podcast was produced by Customer Attraction Industrial Marketing. I'd like to thank my nephew, Chris Gray, for the music, Jeffrey for audio production, my partner, Janet, and our partners, A3, Painted Robot, and our sponsor, Earhart Automation Systems. Mm-hmm.